So when you're traveling, it usually comes down to two options you have to pay for: hotel room or Airbnb. Which one are you going to pick? That's what I want to talk about today here on Free For All Friday. Welcome to Free For All Friday, to the Council of Trent podcast. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But Friday, we talk about whatever I feel like talking about. I travel a lot for my work at Catholic Answers and for Council of Trent. When I go and speak, I usually stay in hotel rooms, but quite often I find there's a good value and good location at staying at an Airbnb. So I usually stay more at hotels than Airbnbs, but I've stayed at a lot of Airbnbs. Also, when I travel with my family, I think it's usually pretty evenly divided between hotel rooms and Airbnbs for us. So I've stayed in a lot of them, and I'm going to do a rundown here of the different points for and against Airbnbs and hotels, my thoughts on them, and maybe helpful for you when you are discerning in an upcoming vacation. You know, where should I stay? Should I stay in a hotel or stay at an Airbnb? So, all right, so let's just start right off the bat here. My first one up is accessibility supports. So support staff, accessibility, things like that when it comes to an Airbnb. On this point, I'm going to say that hotels come out over an Airbnb. You know, when I go to a hotel to stay at, if there is a problem, I love that I can pick up the phone, dial zero, and there's somebody at the front desk ready to help me. Or I can just walk down the hall, go down the elevator, and 24 hours a day, there is someone there at the desk who can help me out. You don't really have anything like that in Airbnbs. Now, I will say this, that some Airbnbs, it depends. Only once or twice have I rented a room. And even then, when I rented a room in an Airbnb, it was more like a casita in the back. It wasn't just like a room in a house with somebody. That kind of creeps me out. As my kids would say, that creeped me out. I'm not really in favor of something like that. So when I rent an Airbnb, I typically rent the entire space, like an entire home, for example, or an entire apartment. So sometimes if you rent a room, there is a landlord there and they're ready to help you. Sometimes that makes me a bit more uneasy. Like, I'd rather not do that. If I was a single woman traveling alone, I definitely wouldn't be doing something like that. My wife and I are watching an Airbnb documentary and one of the stories is about a young woman who stays at an Airbnb with a man is there who says, oh, you can just stay here for free. I'm not even going to charge you. And then untoward things begin to happen. So no, I love my hotel rooms with their double privacy lock on there so that people leave me alone and can't get in. But when something goes wrong, I can usually find help pretty quick. I've been at Airbnbs. My biggest pet peeve at an Airbnb when I travel is a lot of times they won't have an iron. And iron's really important to me because, you know, I fold up all my clothes and my bags when I travel. I take them out. And my dress shirts are usually pretty wrinkled. So I need them to be ironed if I'm going to go out and give a talk. So if I show up in an Airbnb and I got to talk in like 2 hours and there's no iron and no ironing board, well, that stinks. So what do? I got to get on the app and I got to message the host. Usually the hosts are pretty quick to respond, but sometimes they aren't. And it's like, oh, I don't have an iron. I don't know when this guy's going to get back to me. Sometimes the host isn't even in the same country as the place where you have your Airbnb. I got to run to Target, buy it. I've had other situations. I've been at Airbnbs where they didn't have the towels stocked, didn't have things. Now, there are hotels that are missing things too, but I can get that accessibility really quickly. Also, housekeeping. It is nice to come back. You get lazy on vacation and you come back and somebody has made up your room, done the beds, cleaned up a little bit. I mean, I do feel bad like having someone be my mommy, but whatever makes me feel better. I'm on vacation or I'm traveling for work and I don't feel like doing that. Walk back in, the bed's made, everything's picked up. That makes me happy. You don't have something like that in the Airbnb. So on accessibility, I'm going to say hotels win on that. Next is location. The possibility of locations. And here I'm going to say that Airbnb wins on location. A lot of times I select Airbnbs when I travel because they're able to get you in a location you can't get anywhere else with a hotel. So for example, a lot of times when I go to California, say I'm going to visit the Catholic Answers office, for example, I'll get a little budget for a hotel room, you know, stay at a hotel room in a hotel circle on the I-8, for example, standard place, got all the hotels there in one spot. And hotels in San Diego, you know, hey, they're not cheap. You go and stay there, you can easily drop like $200 a night, just all the hotel taxes and fees, this or that. But a lot of times if I just go on Airbnb, I can find a little casita behind somebody's house right on the beach. like right on the beach. I could just find it right there for the same price, if not cheaper, than a hotel room. So Airbnbs, they give you a lot more of that flexibility of location. There's another place I love staying at where it's this little apartment above a convenience store and restaurant. So it feels very cosmopolitan. It feels like I'm in New York City. There's like a secret staircase to get up to it. I have found a lot of really pleasant locations I'm able to stay at with Airbnb. Or if I travel with my family, we can just get a nice house in a suburban neighborhood. Feels safe, nice to walk around, close to amenities. And you don't have to be at a hotel. You don't have to go to the rigmarole of going out of a parking garage in a hotel, or, you know, having the parking permit to get into the hotel and, you know, other things like that. So, I mean, there are hotels. I mean, obviously there are hotels by the beach, for example. There are hotels in lots of different places. But I find, and this is going to come up when we get to the end of the episode, there's a major price difference there. So when it comes to just different locations, or, you know, if I want to stay a lot of neighborhoods, let's say there's a really beautiful, picturesque kind of neighborhood to stay at, there's not going to be hotels there. When I went to the Whatever podcast to do my debate there, the Whatever podcast is in Santa Barbara. And the hotels there, once again, they're not cheap. It's not cheap unless you stay in the really bad part of town. And I'm not going to do that. But I found a nice casita in a really picturesque neighborhood of Santa Barbara in an area where there were no hotels within like 10 miles of that area. So I would say that Airbnb gets you to a lot more different locations than a hotel would. So if location really matters to you, I think an Airbnb is going to win on that point. All right, next one up is flexibility, right? The best laid plans of mice and men. You want to go on a trip, you get sick, or the conference gets canceled, or whatever it may be, and you need to cancel your lodging. That's a lot easier to do with hotels than with Airbnb. So when it comes to flexibility, I'm going to say hotels win on that one. A lot of times, you know, when I travel, if it's an Airbnb, some Airbnbs, you can only cancel the first 48 hours of the booking and get a full refund. After that, I think maybe you can get a 50% refund on the Airbnb. But sometimes you can't get anything back at all. I think a lot of times, though, after the 48 hours, it's 50%. And then right up to it, you can't get anything back at all. There are some Airbnbs where they'll let you cancel up to maybe like a month before your booking or a few weeks before your booking. But most hotels, now you can book a cheaper option that is non-refundable. But to me, it just isn't worth it to save $10 when I might lose out on like $400 on a hotel if my plan cancels. A lot of hotels, you can cancel 24 hours before your stay and you're not going to be charged. So that's really nice to have that kind of flexibility with a hotel. So I'm going to say that it's the hotels win on that point. And also on the other end of the spectrum, Airbnb, it's very easy for the host to cancel on you. This doesn't happen to me a lot, but a few times at Airbnb, I'll be ready for my trip. I get a message, sorry, your booking was canceled. The host, you know, they want to put their mother-in-law in there that week instead, so they cancel your booking. Airbnb tries to be nice and gives you like $100 credit on top of your full refund, but it can still be a giant pain because by that point, you try to rebook somewhere else. There's not good places to book or the prices have gone up, and you maybe booked that because it was a really good deal. Now you can't find anything that's a comparable deal. So you're spending more money than the $100 pity credit that they give you. So when I look there, and I've never traveled with a hotel and got to the Hampton Inn and they're like, sorry, we don't feel like having you here today. I mean, you could have a horrible disaster at the hotel or something, but I've never had a hotel cancel on me. I've had Airbnbs cancel on me. So flexibility, I'm going to say hotels win on that. I say that because when you think about hotels, they're usually pretty dingy, right? They're not the cleanest thing, but there's a kind of low-level mediocrity when it comes to their cleanliness. And I'm never too horribly surprised at hotels. They're your general hotel level of it's kind of clean, but not as clean as I would like, but it'll do. And you just try not to, you know, don't lay on the duvet or something like that. But the problem is, when I think about stories of really unclean places I've stayed at, they've been Airbnbs. I've been to a few that smelled really bad or they had dog hair everywhere. That's one that really gets me. I really wish there's an option. I should check if there's an option for ones that don't allow pets. Because you go in there and someone had their dog in there and it's just covered in dog hair. And once they're there, you can't get that stuff out. And I find that annoying. And so I've never had a hotel that was covered in dog hair. I've never had a hotel room that was so clean. I really regretted staying there. Here's the thing. If I get to a hotel and it's dirty, once again, what can I do? I can go down to the front desk and say, I'd like a new room, please. This room is disgusting. And they'll move me to a new room, usually, unless the hotel is fully booked. Usually that's not the case. So there, hotels win, because even if it is dirty, it can be remedied. Airbnb, if the house is just dirty, what are you going to do? It's dirty, you know? And you got to pay those extra fees for cleaning that a lot of times I wonder if the host actually pockets them. But I have stayed at the Airbnbs that are nice, though, that I stay at are much cleaner than hotels. So that's why it's very, very close call for me. Hotels are always kind of dingy. Airbnbs, a few of them are not great. Nearly all of them have been good, if not immaculate. Very, very good. But it's just more of a risk there with Airbnbs than hotels. Next one up is safety. When it comes to safety when you're traveling. Here, I'm going to say hotels are a clear winner. You know, I stay at places, in theory, the host could leave cameras around. They have access to the doors, the locks. They could come in when they want to. And that's just a danger from the host. There could be other things that are ne'er-do-wells throughout the neighborhood, things like that. Usually I try to stay in pretty nice places. But an Airbnb, you're really more at the privilege of the host letting you stay there. And they have a bit more where they can intrude than maybe like a hotel manager. The hotel manager can come to your door. But when I go and stay places, like I like when an Airbnb has a privacy lock on the doors or on the front door. And hotels almost always have that privacy lock that you can put. Now, actually, I know the hotels actually have a way to undo the privacy lock, because one time I left my room and the privacy lock engaged, that big, you know, the hook thing that you put on. When I closed it, it swung shut and it locked me out. I was like, what? How did that happen? So the janitor maintenance guy comes in, has a little hook that goes up and pops that thing open. So actually, you know, that's not a universal thing, but it's a deterrent. And that's what's important. So I think the fact that, you know, you have key cards, some Airbnbs use keypads. Hopefully those codes are changed more than one would hope. But I think when I think about it, when it comes to safety, there's just more people around in a hotel. I think I would feel safer in a hotel than some Airbnbs, but I'm a guy. When I travel by myself, I don't really notice. That's that man privilege, I guess. I don't, unless I stay in a really seedy area, I feel safe, but I don't stay in seedy areas because I don't have to stay in some hostel in Eastern Europe where they're going to, you know, kidnap me and let, you know, German tourists cut me up or something for fun. Eli Roth's Hostel. That's the movie I'm referencing. Finally, though, here's the last bit, and that's why it puts it over a lot of people, because if you're keeping track, I think it's 4 points for hotels, like 3.5 points for hotels, 1 for Airbnb. The last one's price, and Airbnb wins price hands down. So that's why I think hotels generally are, well, price kind of goes into this. Also comes into functionality. So, you know, you want to stay somewhere. If I just stay somewhere overnight, a little microwave in the room, that's fine. But maybe I want a kitchen. Maybe I want a larger place to spread out. You're going to pay through the nose to get a suite that has a kitchen, has a bunch of other elements for you, or a two-bedroom suite. I mean, we take our family. You know, I love going to the Homewood, getting some Homewoods I stay at have a two-bedroom suite, one for me and my wife, one for the kids. It's luxurious. So it's not the cheapest to be able to get. When you look at getting an entire house, getting the amenities of a whole house, like a backyard, garage, laundry room, your own laundry, living room, kitchen, 3-4 bedrooms. So in some places where I've stayed, that can be cheaper than some, you know, hotel suites. And you get an entire house for that. So if you're just traveling by yourself, a lot of times hotels they're probably going to be better, unless you want a bargain room. Because on Airbnb, you can get a room for practically nothing. Buyer beware sometimes, but you can get it really cheap there. But if you're traveling, you're going with your family, and you want like an entire house, you want large space to sprawl out, you know, price-wise, there's nothing that's going to beat an Airbnb there. So I think that's why, that is why they've been so competitive. And there is questions about fairness here. Hotels have to pay taxes. They got to deal with regulations, similar to the taxi Uber debate. You have Ubers come in. They don't have to have taxi regulations. Like in New York, they have the medallions. You got to pay $1 million to get a medallion. That's supposed to be your retirement plan to sell it to the next taxi driver. And then the medallion values collapse because anybody can just get an Uber now. And I feel bad for those guys. Similar to hotels and Airbnbs. Like Airbnbs have an advantage there, maybe an unfair advantage. Also, it is sad what Airbnbs do to neighborhoods, right? You know, turns into a party zone, or it really turns neighborhoods into more of a commercial rental, drives rents up. And so if you are a ethically conscious person, there might be a point against Airbnbs, for example. I think when it comes down to it, though, I read one blog that compared hotels and Airbnbs to how do you get your dog to have care while you're on vacation. You have two options. You could ask a friend to watch your dog, or you could pay to use a kennel. Paying to use a kennel is like buying a hotel room. You pay the money, here's the transaction, and no questions asked. You know, it's just clean, commercial, and there you go. Airbnbs, though, it's a lot more rickety. Like when you ask a friend, sure, you're saving money. Maybe it's free, but then you have to worry about what your friend thinks about you. You're going to harm that relationship. There's a bunch of unspoken rules between you and the other person. They may not be as dependable. What if they don't show up for the dog that day because they got sick? So now you're saving money, but you're inheriting a lot of risks. That's similar with Airbnb. You could have risks with the owner not having the right stuff for you, trouble getting into the place, weird stuff happening, or it's just they're very particular. I think some comedian, he said, Airbnb, clean up the house, take out the trash, mop the floors, pick up my son from school. Why do I have to do all this? Like when you do the checkout instructions, some places it's pretty ridiculous, everything you have to do to check out, and then you have to pay a cleaning fee on top of that. So it just depends. And it depends what you get. Some places are really reasonable. Some are not. I will say, though, also, if you're traveling, you want a memorable stay, that's going to be Airbnb. Maybe that's another point for Airbnb. Hotels still win out overall, I guess. But they're so memorable. Like I said before, just the places are really unique and interesting and fun. And hotels, they all start to blend together after a while. It's just very, all hotel rooms are basically the same. So if you want a memorable thing, for better or for worse, Airbnb might for you be for you. All right. Well, thank you all so much. Hope that was helpful for you all. And I hope you have a very blessed weekend.